Political protests have been especially intense since President Trump took office, with the most recent being focused on the Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh and the subsequent allegations against him. But are protests sustainable, and do they end up influencing election results? Daniel Gillian is an associate professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He and a colleague focused on U.S. House races from 1960 to 1990 to try to determine how political protests affected those outcomes, and is with me to talk about that period of time and current protests as well. So, Professor, what is the power of protests, and do you get the impression that this recent string of protests is more sustainable?
Yes, I would agree with that. I think protests over the last couple of years, especially following the elections, have really increased. There are more individuals going out, putting forth their claims, hitting the streets. You know, but what's really interesting about protests this time around is that they are underneath a general liberal umbrella. You have Black Lives Matter protests, you have protests against guns, and you have protests about gun control. You also have protests about women's rights. And all of that falls under a liberal umbrella that's affecting, I think, people's perspectives of what's going on in society. So you've seen an increase of protests, but you've also seen them tied together through this liberal umbrella.
What is the power of protests? I guess there are some cynics who will say, well, you need to get your base fired up to get out and vote or to raise money or whatever it may be. But when it comes to the general sort of populace, do you feel that protests have a real impact? I mean, are there people whose views are changed? Or potentially, is there an equal number of people whose views are changed and an equal number of people who just say, I don't want to hear this anymore, and they sort of shut their brain off?
You're going to have a couple of people who just will shut their brain off and who won't even pay attention to it. But protest does a great job, though, of informing those individuals that might not be aware of a specific issue, but might be likely to take in what they've heard and for it to influence their actions. So what protest is really doing, the power of it, is informing individuals of a particular issues, letting them know about the details. Take, for example, issues around unarmed Black men dying at the hands of police officers. It allows people to understand the narrative of a specific situation. It creates passion, and it makes that issue very salient. So when it's time to go and vote, that might be in the back of people's mind when they head out to the polls. Even the fact for them to get up and go to the polls, to mobilize them, you see protests will have the ability to influence their decisions to even turn out.
Is there a feeling that the protests need to sort of rev themselves up again the closer we get to an election? Like, let's say now, with all the Brett Kavanaugh stuff going on, is this something that can be used by both sides since we're only about 6 weeks out from the general election?
I think it is something that can be used by both sides, but the ability for protests to sustain itself is likely to be seen in the Democratic Party or the liberal side of the political spectrum. And that's because right now, Democrats are the outside party. They're on the outside looking in, hoping to get back into the House to try and gain a majority, or back into the Senate to try and gain a majority. So we've seen several liberal protests over time, and when an issue takes place, when there is a problem or a crisis, it's more likely for liberal voters and for liberal citizens to reach into their toolbox and use political protest as a way to put forth their concerns. Many times those on the inside, conservatives at this point in time, can rely on the people who's in office. They have the power. But when you're outside of office, like liberals are, they're more likely to utilize these tools. And we've seen it, you know, with the Kavanaugh, a lot of individuals going out protesting over this issue. Actually, one protester stopping Blake in the elevator and putting forth their concerns because they feel as though this is what we have to do to put our issues on the policy agenda.
Is it a case, because you have Republicans controlling the White House, the House, and the Senate, that that's happening on the liberal side? Or have you seen evidence that indicates that the liberal side tends to be more of the protesters?
Over time, clearly, you've seen we've seen protests take place on the liberal side. You know, going back to the 1960s and 1950s with the civil rights movement, that was under the umbrella of liberal protests. We did see some sort of conservative protest take place around the 1990s around Christian beliefs and under the with the right We saw some of those protests. But for the most part, we're seeing liberal protests dominate the political arena. But that's largely driven by marginalized groups.
Well, let's go back to some of the research you did from 1960 to 1990 on some of these congressional elections. Did you see similar things when Democrats were fired up about an issue and protesting an issue? Did it get out the vote for them? And at the same time, did it lessen the vote of Republicans or vice versa in this case? Were we just seeing the one party extra energized, or were we also seeing the other party sort of de-energized?
Yeah, actually, it's a combination of both. You look at protests from 1960s through the 1990s, and I analyzed that assessing protests by racial and ethnic minorities and also just by liberal citizens and conservative citizens. And we saw that for each side, it brought individuals out to vote. However, liberals seem to be more responsive to political protests. And you see a larger number of liberal citizens coming out and voting when they see liberal protests. That being said, when you have liberal protests, you're also more likely to get counter protests as well as the opposite side coming out and voting. When conservatives protest, you don't get the opposite side being agitated enough to come out and protest and even to vote. However, when you do have liberal protests, it invokes, a greater pushback by individuals. This is especially the case for racial and ethnic minority protests. Racial and ethnic minority protests can mobilize racial and ethnic minorities to hit the polls, to mobilize them to vote and to vote in a liberal direction. But it also seems to mobilize non-minorities to create this aspect of racial resentment, if you will, and leads to non-minorities coming out and voting at the polls.
Daniel Gillian is an associate professor of political science at the University of Pennsylvania.